This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 415 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com and slightly thrown because our U-Butte studio-like connection just doesn't want to work tonight, so we're back to Skype.
Well, this is just people that have a comparison. Let's have a vote. Last week's episode, yes. This week's episode, or next week's episode.
There you go.
Which we won't do one. Yeah. And then they can vote which of the three they prefer.
There we go. That there is Mr. Glyn Lavender from creativephotoworkshops.com.au. How are you?
But don't hold that against me.
No.
No, I'm well. I'm at the end of 3 weeks of school holidays, so I'm kind of looking forward to...
How can you be at the end of 3 weeks already?
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Because Max has only been off for 1 week, and he's got one more week to go.
One more week to go still?
Yeah, because they're 2 weeks.
Yeah, my kids got different holidays at different times than you guys, and they have 3 weeks rather than two.
Right.
And they've already had two.
Right.
And, yeah... At least I'm hoping. Does it just feel that way?
You're hoping they're going back to school next week.
Definitely ends on Monday. Back to school on Monday.
Okay. Yeah, so Max is supposedly studying hard for his HSC.
So. Yeah. Lads will be lads.
Yep.
And has your week been anything exciting?
No, not really. No.
Oh, awesome. No. You're such a great foil to my buddy to talk to. I mean, you're a living, breathing buddy inspiration, Bruce.
There we go. I am in the process of organising a shoot with a model from Taree. She's like 1,000 miles away, and she wants to do a shoot with me. Yeah, so...
You're going to meet halfway?
We are. A little town called Karua.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. Being somewhat facetious, but
yeah,
there you go.
No. She originally said, you know, that, yeah, she would travel down to, you know, the Central Coast.
Has she seen your work?
Allegedly.
Because the price of petrol is pretty expensive stuff. You don't want to be throwing that away to just anybody.
That's right. And then she says, how do you feel about travelling to Bulla Dealer? Which is like... 2 hour drive for me and a 20 minute drive for her. So I said, how about
not really 1,000 K.
No. And so I said, how about Karua, which is a bit more like halfway for both of us, so it'll be, you know, hour and a bit for each of us. So that's what we've agreed on. So that's gonna be a couple of weeks away.
Excellent. Yes. What are you gonna shoot? Is she gonna take photos of stuff and you're gonna take photos of stuff?
Or? No, she's a model. So she just wants to do a shoot with me. She's seen some of the other stuff I've done and liked what I've done. And I'm a little bit concerned because it's all going to be middle of the day. And yeah.
A lot of flash.
Yeah. But there's no nice old buildings or anything in Karua, you know. It's just a...
I saw this thing on Petapixel. I should have got it for you. It was, I think it was like either 6, 10, one of these numbered things. X amount of locations you can find in every city.
There oh, okay. Go. That's what I need.
That's what you need. You need that.
Except
I'm going to go and search on that.
This is a little fishing village of about 300 people.
Oh, fishing village? Fabulous. Fishing boats, big piers. what more could you possibly want?
Yeah, you haven't seen Karua.
How's it spelled?
K-A-R-U-A-H.
U-A-H. Okay. I'll find it for you, Bruce, because, I mean, if every town's got these spots and you're set.
Yeah. So if you do a Google image search on just the word Karua.
Four portrait locations you can find in any neighbourhood. It's even better.
Okay.
It's a neighbourhood, because you go into a neighbourhood, it's somebody's neighbourhood.
Just, you know? Gate crash somebody's backyard, yeah.
It's not somebody's backyard, a neighbourhood. Oh, it's a YouTube video. Here we go. So... Oh, no, she says she does videos in her photos in your backyard. That's even better. So I'm going to send this through to you and tell me if you find any of these in your backyard. You can watch it and review it for us next week.
Fantastic.
Now back to the important bit. Let me Google up the actual place you're going because I need a good laugh. I'm looking at Karua. Hey, they've got a bridge.
Yes, they do.
They've got like a little waterway kind of thing with reflecting water. There's like an abandoned service station. Oh, no, that's actually the fully worked. That's a That's just where people. Hey, there's a boat ramp. There's some rocks there. There's Karua National Park. It could be just those rocks.
Yeah.
Is that the giant? Oh, they got the fading replica of a giant Ayers rock.
Oh yeah, that's a little bit out of town, but yes, yeah.
That's... No, that's got to be. Hey, we went to the outback to take these photos. Dude, there's nothing here.
No, there's nothing in Karua. It's going to be interesting. And like I said, middle of the day.
There's even less than that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
There's a jetty.
Yes, there is a jetty.
Doesn't look bad. Another nice twilight sunset shot.
Yes. Did you not hear me say it's going to be the middle of the day?
Unfortunately, I did. Oh, I can't wait to see these pictures.
Oh, yeah. So anyway.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Pray for some cloud cover.
Yes.
Mate, at least the sky's in
you. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh. So. Oh, there's someone posing in front of the fake Ayers rock. That looks great. You could have some fun with that.
The fake Ayers rock is actually a roadhouse out on the highway.
Why did they do an Ayers rock in the middle of Karua, New South Wales?
Which is right on the coast.
Right on the coast. Where's the big prawn? The big bloody.
Well, the big prawn is in Ballina.
Okay, or the big manta ray. There's more species of fish and things they could have named after, you know?
There's plenty more fish in the sea, Glenn.
Pretty much. Oh. No, this is... And when are you doing the shoot?
I think it's Sunday week.
What if you drive all the way and she doesn't show up?
I will be very disappointed.
Because you kind of know that's going to happen. You know this. You know this in advance, don't you? I reckon we should do a Facebook poll of how many people think this girl isn't going to show up for the British shoot.
That would be very disappointing indeed.
Can we do polls to their Facebook page?
I have no idea. I guess you can.
We're going to investigate this.
You can look into that.
We should do it. Poll, will she, won't she? That's all it has to say.
Okay.
Yeah, done.
You can awesome. Set that up.
I've got a couple of photographic things happened this week.
What was that?
I got interviewed by Photo District News magazine out of the US the other night.
Oh, this was the thing you were telling us about last week.
Yeah, so they interviewed me the other day, and mind you, they're only choosing two images. It's an advertorial for Tamron, so it's not going to be a massive thing still.
And are they images that you shot with the newly released lens?
No, this is just a blurb on me, not so much a... It's a world in focus kind of thing.
Okay, cool.
Spiel.
So did you get to choose the images, or did they?
We wanted to talk about a specific trip. So we talked about Myanmar, because it's somewhere that not everyone goes to kind of thing.
Yep.
And they'll send over a bunch of images from there, and they chose two.
Nice.
That was kind of interesting. So it was really interesting being interviewed by a woman who had yet to see any images.
Oh, okay.
Asked questions about something she didn't know much about.
Right.
Only because not that she was wonderful. It's just that she hasn't been given much of a brief of what they want to do. She hadn't seen the images about where we're going to.
So her interview was as well researched as our podcast.
Pretty close. No, she did it. She did a fabulous job. But I'm sucking up because she by chance happened to listen accidentally. No, she Amy did it. Considering what she was working with, she did a great job. We even talked for like an hour, so it did pretty well. But it's pretty tricky.
Nice.
And this weekend I'm off to Adelaide.
Oh, okay.
Adelaide on Sunday for the Photo Co Day. I'm not sure what it is. Some big camera expo kind of thing in Adelaide.
Right.
Yes, seminars and workshops. That's what I'm doing.
Who has organised that?
Tamron. So I'm over there doing a travel talk for them, which is good. So that'd be a bit of fun.
Nice.
So I've been prepping for that and prepping for my hour and a half talk for Photo Plus up in the US, in between looking after the kids.
Yeah. You having a night in Adelaide, or are you just over in the morning and back in the night?
Over in the morning, back at night. Yeah, I'm only talking 40 minutes, so my whole workday is 40 minutes.
Right.
40 minutes in Adelaide sounds like a weekend, though. So.
I like Adelaide. I don't know why people rag on Adelaide. I reckon it's a lovely city.
Let me just say this. I like Adelaide too.
It's not like that.
The good thing is my 10-minute talks go for 40 minutes over there. Or 50 if they ask me to slow down somewhat. Lovely. Adelaide's lovely. I grew up for a couple of years in Adelaide, so I do have a soft spot for Adelaide.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm off to that. Those are good. And I'm starting a process that may or may not come to fruition.
Right.
With a tourism training organisation in Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Where they're looking at building tourism. And their job is to train the hospitality, the guides, the drivers, all the range of things that tourists would go to.
Right.
But they specifically, because they're looking at different genres of why people travel to the region for different reasons, and they want me to go there and give them some guidance on what photo tours want.
Right.
If they came to that region. So, yeah, the different niche needs for them. So that's something I'm kind of... I've just been approached this week, and I'm just waiting for all the info, and we're going to try to develop something from there and look at doing something with them next year, which would be kind of good. Go over there and teach the people who actually would look after you if you went over there, which is pretty cool. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, so if it comes to fruition, it'll give me an opportunity to do some reccying and then actually run a photo tour there, and the people would better look after me.
Nice.
Told them what I wanted. So that's kind of an interesting kind of a new avenue of doing things for me, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm more than likely in the next sort of 6 to 8 weeks-ish going to be announcing a tour to Tanzania in August next year.
Nice.
But only 4 people.
Wow.
Only 4 people and me in one vehicle.
Right.
So it's a I'm working with this group out of the US where we're going to have different tour leaders from different parts of the world all bringing 4 people themselves.
Right.
And we spend, my little group of 4 and me, we spend all our time during the day going out on safaris and photographing. But at night, all the groups come back together and we get together and we talk and we drink and we discuss. And so you meet other people from other groups and other areas, but it's all...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's your own little small group, but you also get socialised with a bigger group of people of similar interests.
Yeah, right.
So I think that I'm looking forward to that. That could be...
And you're going to take some sort of... like projector and screen so that you can compare images each night?
I have not been far into it. More than likely, we'll do something like that. I have no time to read through all the blurb yet because, once again, school holidays keep me busy.
Yeah.
So next August, luxury all the way, I'm told. So if anyone's keen to hear more information, drop me a line.
Now, Tanzania's Africa. Whereabouts in Africa, though?
In the Tanzanian bit.
Right. Excellent.
So we're going there for the wildebeest migration.
Right.
So it'll be pretty darn special. There's some great photo opportunities, and the guy who's running it just came back a couple of weeks ago. Came back from this year's one, and they did 6 phenomenal river crossings. Apparently, of the wildebeest crossing the river, fighting gators and everything else. And
wow,
really quite astounding. He sent me through this image of all these wildebeest and zebras just going across a dusty plain.
Yeah.
So, of course, all the dust is all kicked up, and you see these awesome shapes of wildebeest and zebras through all this dust. And I go, oh, damn, pity we're there when the pollution was so bad. It's like, what? It's like, oh, man, you can hardly see the animals.
That sounds
very
cool.
Good sense of humor. I'm not sure how much of that he got, but so 4 people only. So keep that in mind.
Mm.
Now, Mozambique.
Yeah,
I was in Mozambique.
When?
Last night in my dreams.
Oh, okay.
Not quite sure why. I had this really convoluted, really in depth dream that I was leading a photo tour in Mozambique.
Yeah,
and for some reason we'd been in some marketplace. And we'd gone somewhere, and my dream kind of tells me it was elephants being attacked by crocodiles. But I didn't have my camera with me. So I've bolted back from this amazing thing that's happening all the way through the markets to the vehicle, grabbed my bag, run all the way back, just got there and realized in the space of leaving the car to get into the elephants, someone had stolen my bag. All that was left was the strap. And then I ran back through the market frantically looking for someone unpacking a bag. And then I woke up.
Right.
So I'm just telling you about the photographic things that happened to me this week. Right. That was
one of them.
Pretty much. It was a very harrowing experience. And the final thing is I got an email this week saying my new camera has just been shipped. And it's on the way now.
And what is your new camera?
My new camera is the Yashica Y35.
Right.
Which is that Kickstarter program for the old rangefinder with the digital films you stick in, which give different effects to your photos.
Right.
Well, it's on the way.
Awesome.
It's coming. Yeah, I'm hoping it arrives before I go to the US, and then I can, I'll take it
take
with
it
me.
With you.
New York street photography with this piece of crap. And it probably is,
I do have something photographic on the way that I thought might have arrived today, but it'll probably arrive tomorrow. And that is my canvas of the photos from our Europe trip from last year.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it hasn't arrived.
It hasn't arrived yet, but it's on its way. So
next week you can tell us about the canvas, and maybe I can tell you about the camera.
Yeah.
And we can read about the poll about will she, won't she.
That's right.
We've got most of an episode sorted already.
Absolutely.
In fact, it sounds better content than most of the stuff we normally do.
So what do you got on your list this week?
I just joined up ass.
Thank you. And what is that?
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's your problem with your...
acronyms?
Yeah, but also your acronyms for, other countries versus English-speaking countries.
Oh, okay.
So this acronym, this particular is ARS, ARS, as we call it. ARS. This is an American website. They call it ASS.
Right.
So it doesn't mean anything to them, but it means a little something to us.
Right.
And funny thing is, I was at Luna Park today, which is a theme park for those who don't know.
Yeah.
And my kids are on a roller coaster. And they had their photo taken going down the scary bit, as they always do. And there's this girl in the front row doing the two-finger salute.
Right. Yep.
And I'm going, ruins the whole bloody photo, This girl been doing the rude double finger with my kids coming down, And so my kids have run over to see the photo, and this girl's come out, and all friends are all laughing. I said, well, you ruined my kid's photo. She goes, what do you mean? I said, that gesture. She goes, it means peace. I said, no, the other way it means peace. That way it means get. She goes, no, it means peace. I said, no, it means get. I said, this way has meant peace since the 1960s.
Yeah.
You're young. What are you, four? You've got no knowledge. She goes, well, what to us, that means peace.
And no.
There's your problem with new generations and your asses and the asses and this thing. But ARS is a photo critique website. It's in beta stage at the moment.
Okay.
And basically it's a way of putting photos up on the internet.
Yeah.
Or looking at photos on the internet. And of course, you have no idea who took the photo because the photo you see isn't labeled by who took it whatsoever, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, okay.
So you then get to vote ugly, not ugly, keep it or discard it or whatever it is.
Right.
Hot or not. I think that's the old websites, weren't they?
Yeah.
Hot or not. You get to rate it. And if you want to actually put some effort in, critique it.
Right.
So it's keep or ditch. And then an option to critique people's images. And the guy who said that goes, well, every time I put stuff up online, people say, oh, nice stuff about it because they know I've taken the photo and they're trying to say nice things to me.
Right.
If that photo went up anonymously, what would they actually think or say?
Good point.
It's kind of interesting. He's trying to get that going. So I've uploaded a bunch of photos and no one's even looked at one of mine yet. So, there's your critique right away. I guess I'm being told straight up.
So I copied the link that you sent me into a tab in my browser, and it says an application is requesting permission to access your Google account. Please select an account that you would like to use. Yeah, so basically,
the only way you can go to at the moment is via accessing via a Google account. Not you can't just sign up because it's a beta program.
Right.
So it's basically running through Google, whatever it is. So I just signed in with a Google account, and here I am. I'm asking away as we speak. That's most podcasts, not just this one.
Right.
But I'm yet to have any success. I've got 0% keeps. I've had 0% ditches and 0% critiques.
Fantastic.
So I'm doing well. I, on the other hand, have rated 103 photos.
What?
And critiqued 8. I've actually critiqued a few.
Right.
But a few of them just... Oh, hang on a sec. It's all happening, Bruce. It's all happening.
Really?
Since I was last talking to you. It's gone wild. One photo's got 66% keep.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that means it's 34% get rid of.
Two out of three. Ain't bad.
Another one's got 66%. One's only got two have got 50%. Three have got 50%. Two have got 0%, so no one's looked at those yet.
Right.
So two people looked at the photo and said, that's no good. No, I'm putting up quality work here, Bruce. Quality work compared to the rest of the crap I've been looking at all night. And I'm only getting 50%. What does that say?
Two people looked at it, one liked it.
Yeah, but that shouldn't be the case. That should be everyone looking at it and go, oh, that's awesome. Because they should be saying, well, compared to the rest of the crap I've been looking at tonight, that looks pretty good. Oh, it's all a bit of fun and games. I'm suggesting it's not a good place for those with delicate egos.
Right. So let's discuss the Peter Eastway thing.
Yes. Did you happen to see that by chance?
I did see it on Facebook. I didn't sort of
Facebook
dig right into it. I just saw the initial comment. But I wasn't familiar with the location.
Oh, it's somewhere in Tasmania, basically. But it's a location you've got to hike for a fair bit to get to.
Right.
And then view down to a thing called Lake Oberon. So you're on this mountain range looking down at this lake with these other mountains in the background and stuff like that. Apparently a fairly famous location, but it's a fair bit of effort to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy called Al, Big Al, has posted to Peter's page saying, why, Peter, why? Is this place already not perfect in its natural form? Why do you feel the need to stretch the peak? So what Pete's done is this mountain over on the opposite side of the lake, he's extended the size of the peak. He's made it more dramatic than it actually is.
Right.
Yeah, he's liquefied and stretched, or who knows what he's done to it.
Right.
To make it bigger and more dramatic in a landscape, you know, from one of Australia's premier landscape photographers.
Yep.
Has manipulated a scene, not just as in his normal way of, you know, curves and contrast and
vignetting. Yep.
Adding dramatic lighting that wasn't there. He's taking dull days and making him look like, he does amazing, you know, sometimes amazing Photoshop.
Post-processing. Yep.
Yeah. He has a lot of skill there. He's done a lot of videos on post-processing, but I don't know, it kind of rankered me too that, you know, if I had never seen this location, and this would be probably part more fool myself, if I saw Peter's photo, I said, oh, I've got to go see that. And that's the only photo I'd ever seen of the place. Then I walked however many days, hours, weeks to get to this spot, get there and go, hang on.
Yeah.
I think she's shrunk in the rain. Yeah. I'm thinking there's going to be somewhat disappointment because I don't know what the original – I should look up what the original one looks like, actually, because I haven't even done that. But, yeah, all of a sudden it doesn't look anything like what it actually looks like in real life. And this guy's sort of objecting. He says, yeah, I can live with multiple exposure blending, but physically altering the landscape is something else. I'm just curious why you would want to do such a thing. I think it's disrespectful to the World Heritage values of this incredible place. Just my humble opinion, which I thought, the guy handled it really well, asking. He's a Tasmanian. He loves his landscapes, and the place is precious to him to see people altering it. And he goes, would you enlarge the Eiffel Tower?
Right.
You know, would you straighten up the Leaning Tower of Pisa? I didn't ask that, but imagine. I put on one of my comments, I said, if I was to take a place I take photo tours to, and that's not a commonly well-known place, and manipulate it so the place looks quite different. If I was to take a tour group there, that's only photos they'd seen, they'd be pretty disappointed.
Yeah.
You know? Pete came back with his lovely, lovely comment, I love these types of discussions, which is a great way to start.
Mm-hmm.
My new book, The New Tradition, which you can pre-purchase on my website, blah, 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 discusses this issue in great detail. Maybe he's not the best opening line, Pete, because now it makes people think, you only stretched the peak to get this people talking so you can talk about your book.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, Glenn.
Oh, God. But he says, I did the hard yards, and in my mind, I have the right to interpret what I saw. Al, don't take this as a rebuke. I respect the way you asked the question, and I'm enjoying the process of responding. Thank you. But having been through this argument so often in the past 20 years, having been accused of all types of witchcraft and impurity, I am very comfortable with what I do. I am not a record photographer. I use photography to communicate what I saw, felt, and interpreted. If others wish to do it, to just take a record of what they find, that's their right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about it. Of course, it's well within someone's right, but if you're a world known landscape photographer who always puts out landscape photos that people believe are how the place looks,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden you start putting out work that is how the world doesn't look, but don't tell people that this is an artistic representation.
Interpretation, yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I mean, to me, this it's a little bit disingenuous putting that image out there without some sort of
disclaimer.
Yeah. Yep. So Jay Mazel, the famous New York street photographer, has been shooting New York streets for 55 years, has only ever cropped a handful of images in his life.
Wow. Right?
It doesn't mean he didn't need to crop more, but any ones that needed to be cropped, he didn't bother doing anything with. He just threw away.
Right.
Except for this handful that he liked so much that he's going to crop it.
Right.
In any of his books, in any of his exhibitions, there's an asterisk next to the name of the photo.
Right.
And it says, asterisk, this photo's been cropped.
Wow.
So out of his 55 years worth of photos, he felt so important to him that he let people know, no, this was not how I shot it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was part of what I shot, but I've cropped it down so you see this reality.
Yeah.
A mere handful of times. No one would have known otherwise, but to him it meant. So I don't know, this to me feels a bit odd, you know?
Yeah, I got to say, I do feel like it's, in this particular instance, you need to be upfront about that type of thing to at least clarify that this is an artistic interpretation. It is not a record of the actual place.
Yeah.
That's my take on it.
I haven't actually seen Peter's original post where he put that photo up and whether he discussed that sort of stuff. So he may have said, oh, you know, we traveled here, blah, 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 and this is my interpretation of what I saw, maybe, but the way this guy's coming back at him, I'm assuming he didn't.
Yeah.
Because he would have probably not had as much of a concern with that. So, but I thought it was an interesting discussion. So I'll put the little link up there anyway, if anyone wants to go have a bit of a gander at it and follow through the quite lengthy thread.
Yep.
It's certainly worthwhile having a read through.
Nice.
The next thing I got, which I thought this is really interesting, is a guy's lessons learnt from losing a week of photos to memory card failure.
Oy, oy, oy.
And it's actually a really good post. And he goes through, and one of the things that I found most interesting about it, because I've had this exactly the same thing happen to him. Like, he was reviewing photos in the back of his camera before going to bed that night. The next morning, woke up, took the card out of the camera, put it in the computer, didn't work anymore.
Ooh.
Didn't work in the camera, didn't work with image recovery software. And read the rest of the post. It's fascinating, the process the guy went through to try and look at recovering the images.
Right.
But what he did then is he went and looked at the reviews of this memory card online. And instead of looking at the it was rated 4.5 stars like on Amazon or whatever, thousands of reviews.
Yeah.
But he went and looked at the reviews that were 1 star.
Right. Yeah.
And, and goes, although I didn't read all the 300 1-star reviews, the ones that I sampled overwhelmingly bemoaned card failure.
Wow.
Since this was becoming quite relevant to me, I looked at all the 1-star review tally, and 15% of them, so that's almost 1 out of 6 reviews, said card failure.
Wow.
Gone, bang, no longer. It says, similar odds to Russian roulette. 1 in 6. You know? If someone killed themselves playing the game, I don't think you'd attribute his death to just bad luck. So this is Lexar 1 Pro Cards.
Right? Wow.
Which I've also had pretty, and they had 15%. Yeah, that's 1,000 times speed. 15% of the reviews said card failure. Of the 2,000 speed on, 17%.
Wow.
But this is the UHS 2 cards. He went back and checked the UHS 1 cards, which he'd had before that, 3%.
Wow.
And he looked at the Sonys and the other brands of cards, and they were all around that same 3% people saying card failure.
Yeah, right. But
these particular ones had this quite high failure rate. So it's a really good article. So this has happened to me. Fortunately, I've never lost any really important images, or even very many images, but I've had plenty of cards, you know, when I put it in the camera to go and use again, and they don't work anymore.
Right.
Whereas, fortunately, I've taken the photos off in previous times, but they refused to work. So that was kind of an enlightening read. But he did a really good job. And then what his end decision with what to do with the cost of getting the images back was really interesting as well. So
what did he do?
Well, I'm not going to let everyone know because read the article.
I got to say, when I'm traveling, I am manic about getting back to wherever we're spending the night and backing up the day's images like ASAP. Because I am just paranoid about that crap all the time.
And one guy in his article is saying he's walking back into the house, looking at images on the back of his camera, takes the card out, puts it into his computer, can't read it. Takes it out, puts it back in the camera, can't read it. Puts it on the internal memory card slot of his computer, can't read it.
Wow.
So that's instant. That's walking into the house, looking at the images.
Yeah.
to no longer functional in any way, shape, or form.
I wonder if he turned the camera off before he ejected the card.
Nice.
I would be keen to know that one particular factor because that can corrupt your card.
It can. What if the camera doesn't shut down properly? That can corrupt your card. What if there's a spike of power? Is it so many things that can...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
this sort of thing. So, I mean, as diligent as you may be, this might be something you're all going to come across at some stage.
Yeah.
You know? I just thought the way he handled the article was really good.
Yeah, right.
Pretty well written and worth delving into and having a bit of a read just to fortify yourself for future thoughts and ideas should it ever happen to you guys. So
yeah, I find it interesting that the read and write speed of the cards seems to track in a linear fashion with the failure rate. So
interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Does tend to suggest that, you know, unless you're going out to shoot sport and you absolutely need that kind of speed, maybe that's not the best thing to be putting on your shopping list.
Interesting, isn't it, eh?
You know, because I know as a travel photographer, I don't mind using the slowest cards around because I'm not shooting, you know, multiple frames a second. Yeah, I'm lucky if I shoot, you know, three frames in 30 seconds.
Yeah, but as a travel photographer, a proper one, I'm often in the situation where you need to shoot bursts of photographs or you miss everything.
Right.
So you want to be shooting 3-4 frames a second if you can. Yusuf, my guide in Bangladesh, he shoots 8 or 10 frames a second.
Really?
Yeah, because he does a lot of movement stuff.
Okay.
So and timing stuff. So he does. Yeah, he's shooting everything with his.
It strikes me as a little bit spray and pray.
Well, put it this way. I mean, if you've got like a little kid jumping up in the air and throwing something up in the air.
Mm.
Timing's everything.
Yeah.
The difference between a fraction of a second here and there, the image is good, not good.
Yeah.
So me with my 2 frames a second or 3 frames a second camera, I'm missing stuff that this guy's getting.
Mm.
Yeah. I've got people to do the same action more times to have more chance of success.
What's the frame rate of your camera?
At 3 frames a second, not even 2.5, 3 frames a second.
Yeah. So mine's 3 per second. You know, and I think the buffer on my camera will allow me to get around about 22 frames of RAW.
Yeah.
And something like, you know, 60 frames of JPEGs, which, you know, even with a slow card is plenty.
No.
No?
If you had to jump up in the air and throw your arms up in the air, how long does it take? No,
A split second. Yeah.
That's
but your camera's only shooting 3 frames a second.
That's the problem. If he's shooting 10 frames a second in that split second to do that leap, he's got a better chance of getting a captivating image than you do.
Right.
Those arms going up in the air take, a quarter of a second.
Mm.
In that quarter of a second, he's taking 3 frames.
Yeah. Okay.
Versus your, if you're lucky, you've got one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess I don't have the option to shoot 10 frames a second.
Oh, me either. And in those situations, I would love to because I'm watching what this guy's doing. Oh, man, look at the shots he just got.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Imagine when you're seeing a strobe light, you know, and you see all those options of shots. Basically, that's why when you see a strobe light, you're seeing a series of frozen photos, aren't you?
Yeah. Yep.
Look at all the options he's got, and then you try to do one. You got none. Your timing's going to be so damn impeccable. There's so many variables out of your control that make the photo good or bad.
Yeah.
Whereas, it's a bit spray and pray, but it's with very precise reasoning that I know I can't time my shot for an unpredictable movement of hand in a quarter of a second.
Yeah.
Because I don't know which direction you're going to throw the hands. I don't know how fast, how slow, where the sweet spot's going to be, where when the hand goes up, the shadow goes over the face, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But he's getting them and we're not.
Yeah, right.
So interesting stuff. So I thought that was So yeah, that's it for me for this week.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really. I've got one guy to go in the rubbish bin.
You what?
One guy to put in the rubbish bin, the guy with talent.
Oh, is that the drone glacier?
The guy's been lighting drones with a glacier.
You mean lighting glaciers with a drone?
That's exactly what I meant. Yeah. Just have a click on some of those photos.
Hang on, I'm just loading up the link right now. Yeah. Wow.
Don't you hate him?
So,
no, I do.
Hang on, so he's lighting the glacier with a drone?
Yeah.
He's not shooting from the drone. He's just lighting the glacier with the drone.
So he's flying the drone and lighting with a torch or lighting up the glacier.
Wow.
Drone. Yeah, I know. Hate him. So we can put him in the file straight away, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get on to your list.
Adam sent us three. The first one was one that I saw as well before Adam posted it to the...
much earlier than Adam.
Shutterzing. Which I thought was very interesting. Zeiss have come out with a camera called the ZX-1, which features Lightroom built into the camera.
Yeah, I saw that last week and I was so disinterested I didn't even bother mentioning it. So I saw it before either you or Adam saw it.
Okay. interesting concept.
Did you read how?
No. Why? No, I didn't.
No. So why are you bringing it up then?
Oh, just because I thought it was an interesting development in, you know, the progression of cameras. It's not something we've seen before.
It is. It's not.
Are you agreeing or disagreeing?
Well, I'm saying it is. An interesting development because it's not something we've seen before.
Right. Thank you for the clarification. it'll be interesting to see how they go about updating the version of software that's on the camera.
I just don't get, how do you access the Lightroom that's on the camera? With your phone? Well, if your phone's got Lightroom CC on it already, it doesn't matter because it's on your phone.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess
what, the phone automatically catalogues it for Lightroom, maybe? I don't know. So you should have read up on it, then we'd know.
Yeah, the camera has its own Wi-Fi built in, so I'm guessing you can do some basic touch-ups in Lightroom on the camera and then Wi-Fi direct from the camera, the processed version.
Oh, so you're actually using the screen of the camera to do the...
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, which, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Anyway.
I don't think it's going to take off, let's put it that way, because if for no other reason, that no one wants to pay them their licensing.
Yeah, probably. The next one I absolutely loved, and I'm sure wedding photographers around the world are just all doing fist pumps in the air having watched this video. Wedding photographer pushes stepmom aside to get the shot. This is only a 45-second video clip, and it's definitely worth watching. And basically, the wedding photographer had asked this stepmom a couple of times already throughout the service, please don't stand in the way of my shot. I'm paid to be here and to do this. And just as the bride and groom were going to do their kiss after the exchange of the rings, the stepmom stands up and you see the wedding photographer just go and elbow her out of the way and keep shooting. And the stepmom walks off rather disgruntled. I thought it was beautiful. And the last one that Adam sent us is the Pictar Pro. Is a grip that gives iPhones and Androids DSLR-like controls. And basically, this is a gadget into which you mount your iPhone or your Android phone. And this gadget is like the right-hand side of your DSLR, where you've got your control dials and your shutter button and all that sort of stuff. And basically, you download an app, you know, the Pictar app from either of the stores, you know, the Google Play Store or the iTunes Music Store. Yeah. Sorry, no. What do you call the Apple App Store now?
App Store.
Okay. Cool. I had a feeling it was no longer the iTunes Music Store. So
no, well, there's iTunes Music and there's App Store. There's apps and music. They're not the same thing.
Right. Was that always the case?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I'm not in the iOS ecosystem. So yeah, but anyway, this thing's basically like the right-hand side of your DSLR and you slot your phone in and off you go, and then you use the app to then control your phone. It's a pretty funky-looking gadget.
Yeah, I read some of the comments on that one. It's like, someone's taken the Sony Mavic 75 camera from the early days of digital and shoved an iPhone in it. And it said, yeah, that's what I want to do. I just want to carry around a device that's so big that I could be carrying a compact camera and actually taking decent quality.
Exactly. But, you know, there'll be someone who thinks it's the right tool for them.
Yeah.
Interestingly, it has built-in key wireless charging, so it will also keep your phone charged throughout the day whilst your phone is mounted in it, so that's pretty cool.
It's like quadruple subscribed on Kickstarter, so some people are buying it,
Yep.
I think they wanted like $35,000 and they're up to $135,000 or something like that. So
wow. And then I found a couple of things. One was on DIY Photography.
Did you?
I did. DIYphotography.net.
All by yourself.
There's been a leak of the forthcoming, or the specs for the forthcoming Samsung Galaxy S10. Now, the base version of the S10 is going to have three cameras on the rear of the phone.
Yeah, that's what you need, more cameras.
That's right.
They're trying to get those ones that got like those nine cameras on the back, all those lenses.
Yeah. Well, they're also saying that the S10 Plus will have five cameras. It will have three on the back and two on the front. It's just getting crazy.
That's what I call the razor equation.
Okay.
Yeah, disposable razors.
Yeah.
They used to have like one blade.
Yes.
Then they got two blades and three blades. Soon the thing's so big, you don't actually have to, you actually just hold the blade, the whole thing to your face, and you move your face up and down once, the whole thing's done.
That's right. Yeah. Yep, that's it. The next one is Mikey or Mika. I'm not sure how that's pronounced. M-E-I-K-E. Announces a 180 degree. Sorry?
That's Bob. It's a linguistic thing. It's a Japanese thing. You wouldn't understand.
Right. So they have just released a 6 to 11 mil f3.5 fisheye for Nikon and Canon DSLRs.
Fabulous,
huh? Yeah.
It is. It's got a mix. It's super wide,
Yeah.
If you look using that on a Canon, it's like a 10 mil lens, ultra, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
10 to 17 or something.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fun to play with.
And the last thing that I came up with was just a nice collection of 50 examples of misty morning photographs.
Misty morning. What did she sing at the song of the 70s? Misty morning?
Something like that.
The stormy angels. No, forget that. Yeah. Hey, I'm misty morning. That sounds like a porn star. Yeah. I'm misty morning. Let me share some examples of my photography. No, it's not good.
Yeah, let's not. So I just like that. I must admit, if I ever go out on a morning shoot, I am always thrilled if there's some fog around, because it always just makes for interesting landscapes, in my opinion. But that's just me.
It's just you. If it's doing something interesting, some of these photos, it's just like, that's dull.
Yes, in some of them it is.
Now you've got a bland, lifeless shot instead of something good.
Yeah.
But some of them are quite pretty, I'll admit. I'll say that in some of them.
Yep.
I've got dust on this sensor.
Yeah.
That's another problem with foggy seal the specs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, there's some I'm just trying to see if there's any spots here that I recognise. There's a bit of Varanasi there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just like a foggy. Because I know a lot of photographers in Varanasi.
Right.
I see it in their posts every. They're taking photos every day. Some of these guys are phenomenal photographers.
Right.
And the stuff they do with the mist and stuff. And then you look at this stuff, it's like, that's boring. Look at this guy shot,
Yeah.
There's a guy, what's his name? His name is Radha Swami. I'll see if I can find his. I think everyone should follow this guy because he kicks ass as a photographer.
Yeah, right.
He's a professor at the local Varanasi University.
Okay.
But he's one hell of a shooter.
Is he on your friend list?
He is. I'm just gonna actually just pull up sure if he's on Facebook or just on Instagram. Let me have a look here. Radha Swami. But this guy can shoot like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
Oops, damn. I killed it. There we are. I'm gonna post his profile, but everyone go look at him and go, you belong in the bin. You belong in the great round file, my friend.
And I'm seeing a lot of people photos.
But even just look at his Facebook header shot with this storm coming.
Yeah, that's like, cool.
Astounding.
And great light, like great colours of light. Yeah.
Well, none of the photos in his photo section on Facebook, they're all just like selfies.
They're all snapshots,
stuff. But is that one with me in it? Look at this. Dear friends, he's saying, today we witnessed a great discussion on creative photography with our mentor, Glyn Lavender from Melbourne, Australia, and his team. Thank you, Glyn Lavender, for sharing your 35 years of experience, knowledge, and views on photography. So, he's obviously got taste. Obviously got taste. But this guy is a fabulous shooter. So if we can find some of his actual work, ever gander at it, very cool.
Does he have a link to an external website anywhere? Like, is he on 500px or...?
He's on all of those, I think.
Right.
Some of the stuff he puts out, Yeah, and almost on a daily basis, because he's really quite sickening, because he's in great spots the whole time.
Yeah.
He's taken takes some phenomenal shots, so
nice.
Propaganda.
All right, mate.
Well, that was it. We've been there, we've done it, we've said it, we've felt it.
Yep.
And we thought this podcast would go for, what, 10 minutes tonight, and sorry to say, people, it went for longer. We'd like to apologise in advance. Now at the end of the podcast, it's probably not really in advance, though, is it?
No.
No.
All right, mate, you have a good week.
If, like most listeners, they listen to the beginning to see what episode it's up to, skip to the end to hear the goodbyes.
Yeah.
This kind of is in advance, really, isn't it?
I guess.
So if you're in Adelaide this Sunday, come and see me.
Yep.
Yes,
The day the podcast comes out.
Yeah. I know. But someone might hear it and bolt on down. You'd probably just miss me, but it was worth it.
All right, mate. I'll talk to you next week.
See you, mate. Bye, everyone.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
Another AudioTier.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.